Hello, welcome to Spotlight, an autistic sun in the never-ending deluge which is Banks' life.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we celebrate a new Manx youth bard. Off the back of International Women's Day, we hear about a wonderful new production of the all-woman play Steel Magnolias being staged on the island. Drop down to see the thought-provoking One Day I Will exhibition at Isle of Man Airport and look forward to a varied artistic spring with Pip at the Erin Arts Centre. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary. You know the list goes on forever. Just email spotlight@manxradio.com or howardcain@manxradio.com. I read them both and would love to speak to you. First off, we have a new Manx youth bard. Nihal Kalari succeeds Hadassah Smith in the prestigious role, having beaten off stiff competition from several other poets at the recent inauguration event at Henry Bloom Noble Library. Nihal is said to have wowed the judges with his poem The Rainbow in Black. And here it is.
In oil's void, darkness spreads eternally. In a rainbow's lambency, a promise descends softly. Yet iridescence unites these contradictions in beautiful harmony. Like the hope in fear, and the beauty in failure, as yin and yang intertwine in the spills of humankind.
Wonderful stuff. Amazing to think Nihal is just 13. Yes. We're hoping to tempt him into the Spotlight studio in the next week or two to have a chat, tell us more about his work, and hopefully persuade him to record some poems for us throughout the coming year. Watch this space. Now, if you're a fan of the wonderful 1989 film Steel Magnolias, listen up as the play on which the film is based is being staged in an immersive fashion at the Studio Theatre Ballycomeen this very week. It's the brainchild of the dynamic duo who head up Stage Door Entertainment, Christine Sutcliffe and Lisa Kreisky, who dropped in to tell me more.
Well, I was at drama school a long, long time ago when I was at Mountview. It was actually, I did Steel Magnolias for my third year production. And that's how I know the play. Obviously, we all know the film, the 1989 film. And I just had such a whale of a time doing it with an all-female cast. We have a female director. We all socialised outside rehearsals. And so I just remembered that camaraderie and I really wanted to bring that to Stage Door Entertainment. So I sort of mentioned it to Chrissy and said, please, can we do it? I think it'd be a really good idea. And she loved, you loved the idea,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, a story of female empowerment and friendship and love.
You're familiar with it, Chrissy, were you? Didn't know.
Yeah, it was one of my favourite films. I've always absolutely loved it. I think probably growing up, Julia Roberts was one of my favourite actresses, and I watched it because she was in it and not really knowing anything about it. And it's one of those films and plays that sort of stays with you. There's moments that are so, so beautiful, and there's moments that are so ordinary, and this in this ordinary lives of these people, these ladies, they find such beauty and strength in each other.
And comedy drama, I suppose it's described as, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I mean it is, I mean it's very funny, because I think that even though there's hardship in these ladies' lives, there's love, and in situations of hardship, you find comedy. And my character, Weezer, is, I mean, it's a stretch for me, H, to be honest, because I'm playing middle-aged, grumpy, slightly fed up with everything. So I mean, it's
almost
it's
the
tricky.
Exact opposite of what you...
Yeah, because I'm a delight.
We really had a hard time thinking about who to cast. In fact, Chrissy and I were watching the film just to remind ourselves a little bit before we made a decision. And, you know, quite often we'll be reading a play or watching a film, something is, oh, that person would be really good for that. I mean, we've done that with you before, haven't we, Howard? But and we're sort of looking at this character, Weezer, and right at exactly the same time, the pair of us looked at each other and just went, oh, my goodness, it's just you,
yeah,
Chrissy.
It's me,
it's
isn't
actually
it?
You.
Yeah. So because the sort of grumpiness provides some of the comedy, but there's moments of comedy for everybody, actually, yep. Because we're just ordinary ladies, and you know, we're fun.
I also think that because it's set in the Deep South in Louisiana, the way that it's written and the dialect that it's written in really lends itself to the comedy of the piece as well. And the way that they all bounce off each other is just, it's just perfection. And I mean, kudos to the two of us, I think, a little bit, because we've cast it so well. The women that we've got in these roles are heavenly. They're perfect.
I'm going to ask about the rest of the cast then. So do you sort of, do you do audition process, or was it a case of, I know, you know, we, you know, a lot of actors and actresses on the Isle of Man. Do you think they're going to be perfect?
I think the beauty of having a production company where it's a two-man band is that we can have these ideas, and you know, the only people that we have to run them by is me and Chrissy. So we're very fortunate that the people that we asked to be in the production all said yes. So we've got the amazing Gráinne Jochen as Truvy, who was played by Dolly Parton. We've got Beth Thomas as Shelby, who was played by Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. Bryony Grant, who's playing Annelle, who was played by Daryl Hannah. And then we've got Chrissy, obviously, as Weezer, who played that?
Shirley MacLaine.
Rachel Braidwood as Clary, who was played by Olympia Dukakis, and the beautiful Emma Callan, who's playing Shelby's mum, Malin, who was played by Sally Field. So as much as we've got these characters who are quite well known, if you know the film, what we didn't want, and I certainly didn't want as a director, was a blueprint of the film, because that's not fun. That's not fun for an audience, and it's not fun for an actor to be a blueprint, a carbon copy of what you've seen on the TV. So we're really fortunate that we've got these brilliant actresses who have completely made the roles their own.
It's nice doing things like this, because when you're doing something that has got an iconic performance attached to it, you have to take a little smidge of what that person brings, because that's what people are expecting. But then having the freedom to kind of go, well, actually, let's make it our own as well. That's been really fun.
What about the staging then? Because I think you're sort of making it, it's being done in the round, it's being done in a sort of an immersive way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always at Stage Door, Chrissy and I always try to put a bit of a different spin on everything. We've done a lot of pop-up theatre, as you remember, and we did a play in The Rover's Return. You know, we've done a production at the Grove Museum. You know, we love doing this pop-up theatre. So we thought, how can we make this a little bit different? And we wanted it to be an immersive experience. So I've directed it in the round, but not only is it being directed in the round so that the audience are really going to feel like they're inside the salon, we're also setting up as a little bit of a cafe vibe. So we've got tables and chairs, and we're encouraging people to bring their drinks, you know, BYOB and snacks, so that they can treat it very much as either a date night or a girls' day out or a ladies at lunch. And make it a sociable event as well, with their friends, with their colleagues, with their family, whatever they want. So I really think that people are just going to leave feeling really uplifted, and just like they've had a really good day out.
Mm-hmm. I would say as well, a lot of the girls in the cast have been referring back to it being International Women's Day. We've got daughters, and although we've said 14 plus, because there's a little bit of, you know, like heart-wrenching content, but I'm really looking forward to my daughter, and I know the girls are looking forward to their daughters watching and seeing these really impressive, strong role models. I think that a lot of the role models that young ladies see now are not necessarily the sort of women that you want them to turn into, but these more kind of solid, strong, really vivacious and sort of very steely characters are exactly the sort of people really that you want your daughters to see and learn from. But also it's the kind of the friendships and how friendship can be lots of different things, and how like my character and Rachel Braidwood's character have been friends for years and years and years, and then these other friends have all kind of come into the mix, and you know, the daughter of one of our friends has become our friend as well. And then a new girl who is brand new in town through the course of the play, Bryony's character, we all become friends together. And like, friendship is not just one thing. And I think it's a really beautiful kind of demonstration of that.
Times, dates, places?
It runs from the 14th to the 17th of March at Balcomine Studio Theatre, and we've got lots of different show times to sort of encourage everybody to come. So we've got a 7:30 on the Thursday, a 7:30 on the Friday, a 2 p.m. on the Saturday, a 7:30 p.m. on the Saturday, and then, a little bit different, we've got an 11:30 a.m. showing on the Sunday.
Different.
So a little bit of a brunch show. Yeah, mm-hmm. A brunch vibe. You know, you can come and have hair of the dog if you want to. Get over the night before.
That's going to be a bit weird, acting at 11:30. It's a strange one. It's like jazz. You don't expect to be doing it in the morning.
Well, the funny thing is, as Chrissy said the other day, she... we've been rehearsing on a Sunday morning, so we're kind of used to getting up on a Sunday morning and having a bit of a catch up and sort of picking apart the night before together. And I know that certainly I, as a director, I can't wait for them to turn up at my house and start rehearsals. It has been such a joyous experience in the rehearsal room. And, you know, because we've been rehearsing at my house as well, it's added that little extra bit of intimacy. You know, we've got the dogs running round and, people walking in and out. And it's been an experience,
and
a really nice one.
Also, we've been, because the ladies talk about their general everyday lives, they talk about cookery and the kind of things that they're making. And a couple of us have researched some of these recipes that they talk about and made the recipes, and we've all sort of had a bit of a, oh, that's a bit weird. We're not expecting that to be nice. And then, you know, so it's just been real fun. It hasn't felt like work at all. It's felt like a really, really fun experience. And I mean, obviously when the collywobbles start next week, but that's part of the fun too.
I also think that that's very much down to the people that we've got involved. You know, not only have we got six brilliant actresses, you know, we've got Heidi as our hair consultant. We've got Helen McKenna helping backstage, Kelly Firth doing the photography. So, you know, it's a real company of women, and that makes us feel quite proud.
Tickets then available from?
thestudiotheatre.im.
So, curtain up for the first time tomorrow evening. Tickets are still available, but are limited, as we've heard, so don't hang around. And I love the idea of that Sunday brunch performance. Check it out. And why not bring along your shrimp and grits?
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
If you've been flying off Ireland recently, you might have noticed a small but eye-catching display of photographs in the upper area at Ronaldsway as you head to departures. The display, part of a much larger collection entitled One Day I Will, has been curated by the One World Centre Isle of Man to mark the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I popped down to the airport to meet coordinator Wendy Shimmon from the One World Centre.
One Day I Will, what you want to be when you grow up, a series of photographs, and they're just of young people, but everyone with a story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an exhibition from a French photographer called Vincent Tremeau, who works in very difficult places around the world, mostly conflict zones or other areas where people are disadvantaged. And he started this project 10 years ago now, just noticing the children that where he went and asking them that very simple question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Recording their photographs using props that were made from anything to hand and capturing a little bit of their hopes and dreams for the futures.
Very much that way, and there are some incredible stories. We'll have a look just at one or two in a minute. First off, just pondering, I see he says in his own notes he's delighted that the One World Centre has taken or given the chance to have the exhibition put down here. How did the One World Centre come across Vincent's work?
As people might know, we've just celebrated the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So as the One World Centre, we were looking to see what could we do to mark this. And we've got a few projects on the go, actually. But this one, I actually searched for what's been happening to mark human rights in the past, and I came across Vincent's work. He's been commissioned by the UN and various other agencies to record life around the world, and this exhibition was actually at the UN building in New York. Massive pictures they had there a couple of years ago for another anniversary, and I just thought, wouldn't it be fantastic if he could get that on the Isle of Man? So I just researched him, found him, sent him an email and said, hey, how about it? And here we are. So we've got 16 of his photographs. The collection is actually much larger, but time and money meant we had to sort of make a selection. But there are a brilliant sort of snapshot of children's lives around the world, each with a little bit of text about what the children were thinking. And it's just so thought-provoking.
It is, and I said at the beginning, you know, it would be easy, as you said, snapshots yourself. If you just breezed past and glanced, they are nicely just simply mounted on wooden frames. They're black backgrounds with beautifully coloured photographs in the middle against this dark black background. But you really need to actually get a bit closer, look at the faces, look at the young people, look at the messages, what they're holding, some of the props, and then read just, there's a couple of paragraphs normally of story underneath, to really give the power to those photographs, because as you say, they're all coming from very disadvantaged or war-torn backgrounds, and these are people with, and we were just saying before we started chatting, you know, if we're born on the Isle of Man or live in this part of the world, you're very used to just being able to get educated and do what you want, and for all the young people in these photographs, that's not been the case.
No, not at all. And that was, I think, a driving force for Vincent, the photographer, is the power of education, and so many of us just do take it for granted.
We have a little sort of walk around one or two of them. One we had a look at just as we came in, there's a young lad here. Awa from the Central African Republic, a beautiful bright picture, a very attractive young girl holding up a blackboard and wearing a hat made out of paper and saying, I want to be a teacher.
Yeah, very simple. You know, we all want to do something with our lives. She says, one day I will be a teacher. But to teach others, I have to learn how to read and write first. And that just comes back to this education. So many children don't get that head start that we get over here.
If we just go over here, there's Aaron from Liberia, again, a slightly older young lad, again, quite a serious, longing look on his face in many ways, and holding up the flag of his country, I think. And he very simply says, I want to become a president in the future.
Yeah, you can see him looking into the distance, and the quote is, I have the passion to lead the people of Liberia and provide a good government for this country. And it's sort of quite remarkable at that age that they're thinking those terms of governments and what they want for their country, because I suspect many youngsters that age here don't really haven't really got a thought about governments yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we'll just have a look at one more again, which we both sort of, was actually two here, one young girl from Iran, who interestingly says, I want to be an actress, which might seem sort of relatively modest compared to some of the other aspirations, but I'm assuming this could well be because she's coming from a country where she probably isn't able to express herself.
Absolutely. I don't know how you'd become an actress in Iran. And the interesting thing is that she says, you know, I'm used to pretending, I'm acting all the time. Maybe it was a way to escape the pain. Acting can make you feel powerful. You can say whatever you want without censorship. And that really brings home to you the conditions in which some of these children are living. And they just simply don't have the freedoms that we have.
Exactly. And as if to reinforce that, right next door is Patrick from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And you don't need to be watched too much news to realise that he's a place which seems to be in a permanent state of civil war. And here he is, a young man looking serious, looking troubled, maybe not looking hopeful, I don't know, holding up a homemade rifle. And he says, I want to be a soldier. But then, interestingly, further down goes on, says, not surprisingly again, perhaps, I don't really like war.
No. But so many of these children, they see very few people. So they will see soldiers, they will see doctors, nurses, they may see teachers. And quite often, if they're in rural areas, they don't really see many other professions. So maybe, you know, their ambitions are sort of clouded by what they're used to.
And the exhibition is on display at the airport until the end of April, after which it's hoped to move it around the Isle of Man and also take it into island schools, where I'm sure it will provoke a lot of discussion, as it should with you, if you stop for a few minutes to look next time you're down. It's well worth it. Now, we were at the Erin Arts Centre last week to have a chat with the artistic director, Pip Rolfe, and while I was there, I got Pip to give us a quick rundown on the artistic run into spring at the centre.
Well, the next on-screen thing we've got, our midweek movie this month, is One Life. which is the James Hawes film starring Anthony Hopkins about the great humanitarian Nicholas Winton, who saved a lot of Czech Jewish children from the Nazis just prior to the Second World War. So we've got two showings of that on Wednesday the 13th. And then we've got Russian Players dropping in after that to do a couple of nights of their one-act plays. So they're doing a Carol Churchill play and a Jim Cartwright play. So that's the 14th and 15th. Still tickets for that. Oh, and then on Saturday the 16th of March, we have the final piano series of recital and masterclass. Or masterclass and recital, actually, because masterclass comes first. Of the series. So we'll start again probably in October. But we've got this incredible Bulgarian woman called Evelina Krastova who is coming. So basically the form is 11 o'clock in the morning on the Saturday morning. She will give a small kind of talk unpacking some of the themes of the programme that she's going to be playing in the evening. And it's a chance for people to ask questions about, you know, the life of a young professional musician and just sort of get up close to somebody who's doing it for a living, so to speak. And the last, Nikita, who came a couple of months ago, he got a young man up to play a little bit and gave him a little masterclass at the end as well. And then she will be playing a programme in the evening. Let me see, I even know what she's playing. She's playing the Mozart Sonata in C major. That's Kirkel 330. Schumann's Papillon, Opus 2, and the Debussy Preludes book.
Oh, well, that sounds a nice evening then.
Yeah, it should be.
And did I see, casting a little bit further forward, I think, into April, on the other side of the musical spectrum, some jazz?
Yes, indeed. Well, we had some jazz very recently as well. We had Blue Vannon and Heinrich Manoeuvre.
Yes, I spotted
that. Weeks ago. That was a fantastic night. And we have our old friends, Dave Newton and Alan Barnes, coming back at the beginning of April. There are still tickets for that, but they won't hang around. So, and fittingly, we had the our beautiful Steinway piano sort of revoiced and serviced just at the beginning of the year. That gave me kittens, actually, because I came in one morning and it was in pieces all over the auditorium. Yeah.
But this was done by a specialist, obviously.
I hadn't done it. And he's made a really, really lovely job of it. A gentleman called Simon Rowe, who came to us from Kendal, I want to say. It's a beautiful instrument, and he's sort of made it sound even more beautiful. So I think Dave Newton will be very excited to come and play it.
He will be pleased. So lots of stuff coming up. We've said before, how far do you sort of program ahead? Are you already sort of thinking towards the summer, later on, autumn?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're programming for the whole year, really, and in some cases beyond. But I like to try and keep us a little bit fresh. So in some respect, you know, we like to forward plan, but that doesn't preclude adding things at the last minute as well. Because I think sometimes people just have a great idea and they'll go, we want to do this show next month. You know, is there a free night? And it's nice to be able to say yes. And I think that keeps people sort of looking at checking the socials and checking what you're doing. And it keeps things a little bit fresh, I think. I'd just like to say as well, we've got Rob Cope's But First Promotions are opening their accounts here in March. They're bringing over Bernard Butler, who was the guitarist in the band Suede. They're doing two nights here. Oh, he's doing two nights here, Suede on. The 22nd and 23rd of March. Now, both those nights are sold out, but it's possible maybe to get hold of But First on Facebook and maybe get on their mailing list, because hopefully they will be doing things with us down here in the future. That's quite an interesting, exciting alliance.
Terrific. And as you say, you can get all this stuff online, so people want to find out what's going on. Like I said, you've got social media presence there. Go to the website, best place?
Yeah, websites and Facebook, all our events on there.
There's always something going on at the EAC. Check out their website and don't forget to drop in and have a look at the revamped Crucible exhibition in the gallery. Looks great. And maybe we can tempt artist Rob Jones to have a walk around the exhibition with us sometime soon. That's about it this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to manxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not try it whilst out, trying to persuade the rain to stop? Yes. See you next week. Until then, look after yourselves and whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Cheerio.